Extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here!
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire from Kansas City. I'm Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Matt Doyle, Kaylin Carr. It is here, the best show of the year, the show that you cannot be punished for. Let the takes flow. No one will check you. It's the prediction show. 2021 is about to begin. The producer and honors reminder of the day is this. MLS is back this week. We've been waiting. We've been talking about a lot of hypotheticals. We've just been spewing words for months now, it feels like. The real thing is coming, boys. So one more show to just make, I don't know, to come up with something and hope it sticks. How do you feel? How do you feel?
We should
5 days. Friday. 8 p.m. Eastern.
I think we should put in a little pot of money, and then whoever takes back one of their predictions first this season, like, and then whoever's last gets to stay. Because I feel like by next Monday, someone's going to be like, nah, I didn't mean that. Golden Boot wasn't that player. It's going to be a whole different player.
Yeah.
That's what happens week one every time.
By the end of this episode, that will happen.
That's
nice.
True.
Fair. That's true.
That's true. Look, it starts on Friday, and it starts in apt fashion, which is to say we get to watch Mateus Almeida off the jump on ESPN Plus. That's the way it should be. That's
roller
the way
coaster.
It is. And 9:30 p.m. Eastern on Friday, Seattle, Minnesota, FS1. You have on Saturday a doubleheader of sorts here, 3 p.m. Eastern, Unimas, Turin, Twitter, Orlando, Atlanta United. Joseph Martinez be in the starting lineup. Gabby, make it happen. At 6 p.m. Eastern, LAFC is going to host Austin FC, their first ever game, Verde on Fox. And then 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Inter Miami against the LA Galaxy on ABC. So an incredible weekend. That's just like, that's the appetizer part. I mean, the full main course, go to MLSsoccer.com, the all-new MLSsoccer.com for all the coverage, all the times, MLS Fantasy, everything you need. Today is the prediction show. I said it. We're also talking CCL. The second legs are coming up. History, history, history. Can it be made? Maybe five teams going through. We'll break that down. And on the all-new MLSsoccer.com, Doyle, what you got? This is the time of year we got to read the armchair analyst.
Mm-hmm. I got two big preview pieces coming this week. The first one's a little bit fun. It's how your team can win the Shield. I concoct an alternate universe where any of the 27 teams can win the Shield and tell you how it could happen. And then I tell you why it's not going to happen. That's coming out later today on Monday. And then on Wednesday is the big one. The Tears of MLS piece. And I'll tell you, for the first time ever, I created a tier where the season is considered like a failure if this team doesn't win a trophy. And there are two teams in that tier. It's Columbus and LAFC. These teams are stacked. They have to win a trophy this year. Doesn't matter what trophy it is to me, but they have to win one or they are going to look back on 2021 as a failed season. And I've never created a tier like that before.
That's a Tamara tier. Damn
yeah.
It now. That's a Tamara tier.
It really is, right?
What's the last
6.0? I don't want to know who's in it, but what is the name of the bottom
yes,
tier?
Yes, that's what's, exactly what I was going to ask.
So it was originally called Literal Garbage, but then I was forced by the powers that be
to call it FC Cincinnati.
To change that name. No, I didn't.
I was just kidding.
Oh, my God. All right, so Cincinnati
the last
fans,
two seasons.
Cincinnati fans listening to that know that it was Andrew Wiebe who said that, not Matt Doyle. Go after Wiebe on Twitter.
That was a joke. Come on. Cincinnati fans know a joke when they hear it, all right? We got some more good stuff there. Tom Bogert, Tommy Scoops. He's got transfer window grades for all 27 clubs. MLS mic'd up. The preseason video is the best of. I know I've enjoyed that. MLS YouTube has the best of all those live mic'd training videos. And that sounds like I'm not selling it that well. But if you want to hear Hernan Losada like yell at his guys and like tactically direct them, that's the sort of thing you're getting there. MLS Fantasy is back on my end. I got your MLS season week one preview. So every single week of this season, I'll come to you on Thursday or Friday with a complete preview of the weekend, what you need to watch, why you need to watch it, and I got my awards, so all the official awards we're about to do. So, forewarned, anything I say on this show doesn't hold. If you guys say something smarter, I'm going to say that in my column. So just I'll credit you, but no, that's the way it's going to work. All right, let's get into our CCL second leg previews. Tuesday, Atlanta United, Alajuelense, 6 p.m. Eastern, Portland Marathon, 8 p.m. Eastern. Atlanta has a 1-0 aggregate lead with an away goal. Portland has two away goals. It is tied 2-2 on Wednesday. Toronto hosts Club Lyon at 6 p.m. Eastern. All these games on FS1. It is 1-1 with an away goal to the Reds. And then Philly and Saprissa are right after that at 8 p.m. Eastern. Philly, of course, has that one away goal and a 1-0 aggregate lead. And on Thursday, the Crew are up 4-0 on Real Esteli. They played 8 p.m. Eastern. Looks like they're going to go through, knock on wood, of course. But some news with them. Kevin Molino is out 6 to 8 weeks with a recurring hamstring issue. So that hamstring problem that we kind of said, oh, so he's coming back. He's starting to be eased back into preseason matches. Well, that didn't work out so well. So he's out for 6 to 8 weeks on this one. But the big news, Dave, and maybe you can guide us through it here, is that there are going to be a lot of absences for MLS opponents as they travel to the United States because of visa issues. So, like, what, Brian Ruiz is out? Johan Venegas? What's going on?
Yeah, I can't walk you through it because I don't know what's going on. But what my understanding is, there's been a visa problem, but also anyone for a lot of states in the U.S. who's been to Europe in the last 15 days, they can't come into the state unless they quarantine. And Costa Rica and Honduras both played friendlies at the national team level in the last window in Europe. So any player who was in those camps, which is a large part of the Alajuelense and Saprissa groups, they then cannot go from Costa Rica to the U.S. right now. So as Weeby mentioned, basically anyone you've heard of before, Kendall Waston, Marvin Angula, Brian Ruiz, Johan Venegas, I think it's about seven starters for Alajuelense between all of the different reasons, won't be traveling to Atlanta, two or three for Saprissa as well. So that's fairly unfortunate, but if you like MLS, that means there's probably a better chance that those teams are going through.
Yeah, I feel a little bit robbed in the sense that we really built up the Alajuelense series against Atlanta United, and now Atlanta just got a gift. Like, that's not what I want out of this competition. I want full-strength Costa Rican champions coming to Atlanta, forcing Atlanta to get through on their own merits. Now, they're still going to have to. Like, true CCL free space would be that they don't, by the way. We had our thoughts, and these guys have really, like, taken me to task, Kalen, about my more pessimism than cautiousness when it comes to this competition. How did you feel about the results last week? And then we'll get to the big question.
Well, I was surprised. I mean, I told you I was closer to your side of things with the cautious pessimism. Is that it? Yeah, I think that's what
I
said.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
Doyle, maybe that should be the name of the bottom tier for you. That's a little more PC than hot fire garbage.
you have editor material right there, my friend.
Thank you, yeah. But I was super impressed. And I was actually wondering, was Joel Campbell involved in the national team setup?
With Leon. So I don't know what the, because also there are Mexican national team players who went to play in Europe. I don't know. That's why I'm saying, I don't know every person that's going to be in or out going forward. Cause I also think different states are different. So I think part of Alajuelense's issue is it's a Georgia situation. And then obviously Toronto is hosting in Florida.
Okay. They're going to be in Florida. Okay. That's pretty.
Kalen's like, how do I word this?
Yeah, the editor voice just left me. But it was awesome to see, and I was super impressed because with all the different things that are stacked against us as MLS teams, it was really impressive. So I'm still a little cautious because it's like, even for Columbus Crew, right, they get through and they got to play Monterrey. If they get, you know, we expect them to advance, like, that's still going to be really tough, even though the Crew look good. And then you don't have Molino, and those little pieces suddenly become bigger as you get further and further in the tournament, not to mention just how much you have to expend just to get past these rounds. But with some of the, like, you know, I guess unfortunate changes with the Costa Ricans and not being able to be at full strength and stuff, that does sort of help these MLS teams as well to advance. So I would say I'm moving from cautiously pessimistic to cautiously pessimistic still. But
I thought you were going to throw optimistic,
like,
in.
But I'm enjoying. And it's been, and like, I think the teams all played really well. So I think that's definitely, like, I think you guys had a good point last week. Can't remember who made it. Maybe Goss, of like the different measurements of how you measure, like, how MLS is doing. And we've had these teams that have kind of like surged through to the finals. But I think the idea that we have a bigger base that can compete even in the early rounds is definitely progress.
All right. Here's the question about that base. All five teams are sort of in position here. to push through the quarterfinals. So the question is, how many get through? We put a poll out on Twitter. We had zero, the Weeby Nihilist pick, of course, although, you know, that's not me, I swear. Only 4% of people went on that one, but I think that was more of a meme vote. 1 through 3, about 14% went through that. 3 to 4, you had 42%. And then all 5 hype train was almost at 40%. Where do you fall on this?
That's a meme vote as well.
Yeah, where do you fall on this scale?
I think 4 teams should be favored. The obvious 4, Columbus, Philly, Atlanta, and Portland. Are all in really good shape to get through, all should get through given the first leg results and home field advantage in the second leg. Toronto put themselves in great shape, but Toronto, they're still going to be missing pieces, and Club Leon is at a different level than even Alajuelense or Saprissa. Like this one feels like something like a coin flip. And given that Toronto only have, you know, 90 minutes under their belts, and they lost 2 guys to hamstring injuries in that first game, and were already down a half dozen guys due to various injuries and ailments, it's a really big ask, and I don't really expect them to get through. And to be fair, we haven't had an update on Josie's injury. He walked off after about 75 minutes, I think it was.
Here's the update. He's having an MRI today. On Monday, okay, for that hamstring.
And but we know with Josie and hamstring injuries, if it looks like a hamstring injury, it's probably a hamstring injury, and he's probably gone for a month. Like that's
even if
that's
it's not, I don't know that Toronto risks it.
Yeah,
like,
why
as
would
much
you?
As you want to win this, I think at the most he's playing as a sub in this one, and that's again, Io's not around, so you don't really have that center forward presence for a team that it looked like had a ton of depth at that position and could be dangerous. And so I think for Chris Armas in his first year, it's like you're trying to set yourself up to have the most success over the course of the next 9 months, not on Wednesday.
Who's the Rocco Rios Novo of the academy, Dave, that's just going to waltz right in and just steal the
isn't
day?
Isn't it Jordan Peruzza?
Yeah, let's
Peruzza?
Go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Goal scorer, legit center forward. I would say if you wanted to say, okay, if Toronto FC doesn't have a ton of attacking pieces, they have to find some creativity somewhere. Jaden Nelson would be the one that you hope would bring that, hit you on the counter, maybe take some guys 1v1 and create opportunities. So all of them, plus all the 3 that started last game, probably all 3 of them start again, unless Jonathan Osorio somehow comes back into this team.
All right, we'll see what happens. More fun to react to this stuff than it is to preview, but make sure you're watching Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm sure we'll be jumping on Spaces, Doyle. What do you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's been fun. Over on Doyle's Twitter account, you can just jump over there if you have. I believe it's the iOS app. Easy.
iOS or Android.
Okay, both. You can scroll Twitter. You can go to other apps. You can do whatever you want while you listen to the Spaces and basically hear us either commiserate or celebrate after CCL matches. This week, all of those on FS1, all the coverage at MLSsoccer.com. All right, we've gotten through it. It's time. I hope you all have your predictions well ironed out. I hope you're going to stand by it so that, you know, by the end of the show, maybe one of us can take the pot that Dave has proposed here. It's the 2021 MLS Extra Time, driven by Continental Tire, on national TV. Please watch the games. Predictions. Here we go. Newcomer of the year. What do we got? Newcomer of the year, the incoming player who's going to take the league by storm. And at the end of the year, we'll all be saying, wow, what an incredible signing that was. Kalen's got the Austin FC hat on, so wonder if he's going to go on brand or not. Start us out, Kalen. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Brenner.
Yes!
Let's go! Wait. Before you get into it, did you think about that or did you know it?
Boom. I just went for it.
So you knew it.
I knew it. Don't think. Right. That's one thing I know, predictions. Don't think. I think, you look at a lot of the signings that came out. I don't think there were, I guess, maybe the biggest signings that we've seen maybe in years past. I think probably due to COVID or whatever it is. But as far as price tag, as far as pedigree or interest globally, Brenner was probably one of the biggest or jumped off the page. I think this is a team that he's obviously going to play week in, week out and be relied on to help. And then I think adding Lucho Acosta will give him some service or some support. And when we've seen Lucho paired with others, I think by himself it's tough, but when we've seen him paired with others, he's been really successful. So I like Brenner. I think he's the type of guy that can create for himself too, because even if there isn't service, I think some of it's just sort of attributes and qualities will be able to get goals. And then he's young, but he also has some experience, and I think he'll be confident coming in. So, yeah, I'm taking Brenner off the board early.
On transfer numbers, I mean, that's the obvious pick, but FC Cincinnati always got to have a little bit of doubt to it. Who has an obvious pick?
Because I think Reeves is really coming for him.
Seed the doubt. Sure. If you just assume you're going to be terrible and then everything is positive, it's all good.
So I just wanted you to know that FC Cincinnati fans on Twitter are definitely not assuming they're going to be terrible. And they are going to take umbrage with you coming for them on this show.
@Andrew_Weeby. That's IEBE for those of you that need that. That help on the spelling front. I was going to go with an obvious one. I was going to go Austin, Texas. I'm switching it up. I'm going Pato. I'm going Alexander Pato. Yeah. You know what?
We be going with the big names. Who would have
thought? Yeah.
Imagine the narratives around this one.
There's some good ones around this one. Look, I think that Orlando are pretty well fleshed out in what they want to be, and they have an opportunity to build on what they were last year. They won't have Daryl DK, but they didn't have him for a lot of the year anyway. And I just think that Pato in that situation with the players around him, and he's had a good preseason. Stop glaring at me, Dave.
He's going to start 12 games this
probably,
week.
Probably. But then, like, okay, fine. I'm going Pato. I'm standing by it. I promise this is one I won't change.
He's going to start 12 games, and we are going to lead extra time with Pato 12 times. For every single time he
starts. Why do you think I said that? Like, what do you think the thumbnail on this on YouTube is going to be? Let's go.
Dude, is Pato even that big of a – what year? Is this 2007? Like,
he's still a name, Kalen. People love those Milan teams. He's still a name. He's still a
Thomas,
guy.
Thomas Pochettino from Austin FC. He's been awesome from what I've seen in preseason, and he's playing – like, it looks very much like Josh Wolf is having them play the same style that Greg Berhalter is having the U.S. national team play. And in that style, it asks a lot of the central midfielders. So I think he's going to be all over the ball, and we're going to end up talking about him every game, win or lose. And then he has this outstanding ability on free kicks.
Yeah.
So he's going to create highlights. So he's going to have the like run of play type, oh, this guy's so good. And then he's going to have the highlight goals as well. So
I got accused of being the narrative writer here. And then now you're going right on my narrative front and saying the highlights, the headlines, that's how it's going to happen. I appreciate you coming around.
That's how
you get the votes.
Awards are won.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
That's why nobody's picking a D-mid. You should pick Santiago Sosa. You should go against the green.
Am I allowed to pick the same as someone else?
I mean, you can, but you should have a different
pick. I've been trying to say Pochettino for 5 minutes. I've been allowing everyone their time and space. Now I can't say it. God. Okay, I'm going to say Ramon Abula. Because I've got Reynoso as my assist king, and someone's got to finish him, and he's here for that. And everyone loves goals, and he's going to go into double digits, and we're going to be wonderwalling. And there's going to be sweet jerseys on. There's going to be Adrian Heath telling us he's underrated as we vote him for an award. It's got it all. So I've got narratives. I've got quality. I've got stats. It all fits together.
Well done. You've also got Reynoso and assist king before anybody could say anything on that one.
Boom!
22 under 22 player of the year. The rookie of the year is no more, but of course, you know we're going to do the college player of the year in our award categories. Doyle, get us started on this one. This is an interesting one. There are so many candidates, which is really fun. I'd be surprised if we overlap, but let's see.
I'm going to go with a dark horse.
Okay.
Cade Cowell.
Oh,
he has been scoring for fun in preseason. He obviously that Quakes attack is one of the most fun to watch in the entire league. It generates tons of chances. They added a number 10, so he'll get better service, and he's just a natural born goal scorer. So I think he's going to pop this year.
I like that. I mean, this is the sort of thing that, like, in this show, these are the things that get me excited about the season to come, as if I wasn't already, of just, like, the Cade Cowell drop. I have a long list. I didn't have Cade Cowell.
Doyle went dark horse on an award that, for most people, is just a dark horse thing anyway, because they don't even care about young players.
I got a rep to protect,
exactly.
Okay?
8 steps deep, yeah.
Good. Who goes next? Brand. He's got Wando grooming him. I like it.
Now I feel super competitive about when people go.
No, you're up. Take the space. People. Take the space, Dave.
Okay. I'm going to go with, this is also my dark horse MVP pick.
Ooh.
Cole Bassett, number 10 for Colorado Rapids. They're going to be a top four team in the West if he does this. And he's going to be one pulling the strings, potentially maybe not playing the full season for them if it goes so right. But he was awesome at the close of last year. And at this point, Robin's built a lot of the attack around him, and there's not a true number nine that's the goal scorer. So him and the wingers are going to get those opportunities, and he's going to pad the stats but also bring the quality.
He was in my list. Now I can't say him. That's unfortunate. Kalen, I'll go last because I have a long list. Who you got?
Okay. I'm going to go with Caden Clark. If you say it fast enough, it sounds like my name. So, and if you look closely too, with the hair, you've got something going on. I went back and looked through some of his highlights too, and just like the way he stepped in last year, never looked overawed by the moment. I mean, just some incredible goals as well. And I think he's actually able to shoulder a little bit more of the load or the pressure. And I think they'll feel better about giving that to him this year, and giving him a run of games, not just, you know, from coming off the bench, but I think he'll start a ton of games this year, get a ton of minutes. And I think he's going to end up on the score sheet, and that's going to, you know, he's going to be, you look at the names of like last year, I think the top three players on the 22 under 22 were moved abroad. And I expect it to be pretty similar this year, as that's just kind of the way things are moving. And I think this is going to be one of the biggest sort of transfers out or names that we see then go on and I think have success abroad too and become a bigger part of the national team. So I really like Clark.
Yep.
Kalen Doyle, do you guys have a minute before Weeby goes for me to list a couple of the names that interest me? Just to
That's funny because I have to take a deep breath to say my entire list. So if you want to just
I think Sam Vines could have a really big year. Mm-hmm. Ricardo Pepi obviously was going to be my other guy mm-hmm. that I was going to pick and I was up there on, and then
James Sands,
a big one.
Yeah, okay.
George Bello as well. Could be a big year for him.
You've taken everybody off my list so far. Yeah. Right. Okay. I have two left.
I think we're up to you now.
Yeah. I have two left on my list, though. So that's good for me. one of them is probably not going to happen, but I want to see it happen. Gianluca Busio has been talking a lot about how he's adding goals and assists, how he's taking the next step this year, how he wants the 10, and he got the number 10 from Sporting Kansas City. I'm not sure he'll have the season to be in this 2022 player of the year conversation, but I do think he's going to take another step forward. The challenge for him is just getting on the field. They've got a lot of veterans in that midfield in Kansas City. So I'm going to throw out Tanner Tessman. We don't know what's going to happen with Paxton Pomykal. He keeps having these setbacks, and it feels irresponsible at this point to expect anything. I think it's better of all of us to step back and say we don't expect anything, and then everything is going to be a positive on the Paxton Pomykal front. But based on what Tanner Tessman did at the end of last season, particularly in big moments, and what he did with the U23s, and just what I think his ceiling is, I think he's going to have a huge season for Dallas. So I hope he's in this conversation, but my top two would be Caden Clark and Cole Bassett. I think those are just really obvious picks, and I think picks that we got
to
look at.
He managed to give us a list anyway.
Okay, got it back to you.
He managed to give it. It's amazing.
Got it back to you.
Absolutely amazing.
You know what? Play your position.
I forgot your boy, Edwin Cerrillo, getting starts in preseason. Yep. How are you going to leave
the number
him
six?
Here? Yeah.
Well, we haven't gotten to D-mid of the year.
All right. Well, we would skip ahead, but no, let's not. Let's do the All-State Goalkeeper of the Year. I'll start, and I won't
Matt
link
Turner.
A list. Yes,
Matt, I
exactly.
Take Matt
yeah, that's,
I take Matt Turner.
Yeah, that was the guy.
Doyle,
yeah.
Everybody knows you take Matt Turner.
Yeah.
Matt I tried Turner's to sneak parents in. Were like, man, this Matt Doyle guy's really
Yeah,
obsessed.
He's like, God, Matts must stick together. Jeez, wow. I think Matt Turner is the obvious one. Do we want to walk people through why that is, or do we assume that they listen to this show and have heard us wax poetic about that often enough?
I mean, just if you don't believe us, just go over to American Soccer Analysis and read all of their advanced work on goalkeeper stats, and like the advanced stats confirm the eye test and the box score stats.
Who are the other candidates? Like, if you had to fill out those finalists, who's
you want a dark horse? It's
wait,
Dan Sinclair.
Don't we all have to make a pick though?
Yeah, okay, yeah, fine. Yeah,
I'm not picking Matt
go,
Turner.
Go, okay, go.
You didn't ask.
Sorry, yeah, ever. My bad.
Kalen, do you want to go first, or are you picking Matt Turner as well?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay, so my thing is Matt Turner's probably going to miss about a month and a half with the national team to some extent, whatever it is. He may not end the season with New England. You got to think about all this stuff, guys. So I'm going to go and say that I think there's going to be an MLS lifetime legend that wins it. I am debating who I think that will be.
I'm taking Stephen Fry, right actually. Now, I just changed it. I'm taking Stephen Fry.
I'm going to say Tim Melia. I think Melia had another big year last year. Obviously, if their backline improves, it'll look on the stat sheet, at least, more obvious to people. And I also think Stephen Fry has another big year as well. But if you look at it, the two obvious picks from last year were Blake and Turner. I think they'll both be away with national team for a fair amount of time. And so then you start Annie Eloy Room.
Yeah, that's true.
So then you start to bring in Gallese, who also has Copa America. And so I think it'll be one of those two American goalkeepers that will be around all season and have their team in the top half of the Western Conference.
And on the narrative side, you got the PK stops, which you assume would keep rolling on for Tim Melia. Yeah, so
everyone loves that.
All right, we've taken basically the top half of goalkeepers off the table here, Kalen. So if you'd like to...
Well, I wanted to take Steph Fry, honestly, because he's going to be there, right? But then also, I think they're going to have to play a little bit more defensive-minded. But then also, they're experimenting with like a three-back formation with Nuhu in the center-back role. So if Nuhu makes it just bombs around up, I feel like we might see like young Toronto FC Steph Fry have to come out this season and just make, you know, 14 saves in a match or something like that. And I don't know. I could still see him doing that. So, and plus, has he won Defender of the Year? Is he still searching for that? I mean, goalkeeper of the Year?
I don't think so, no.
He's been on like one all-star team. Yeah.
That's insane.
Well.
That's just criminal.
People in the Cascadia area are just so underrated in MLS.
Yeah. Nobody ever talks about
him. Anders now is just...
Nobody pays attention.
He's basically the Diego Chara of goalkeepers. Portland and Seattle fans can get together and talk about that.
Let's do Defender of the Year. Who we got on that side? This one can be difficult to predict sometimes, but you're mostly trying to predict who's going to have one of the best goals against averages in the league and who's going to have that sort of like big oversized role or one that gets lionized to the point where they get into this. I mean, I think Walker Zimmerman still is a good choice on this, but I think it's hard to win this one back to back. Who do we have as, I would say, candidates? We can just throw ours out there. Doyle, get us started. Yeah, go.
You want me to get started? Yeah. I'll say Jesus Murillo. I think LAFC is going to be a lot better defensively all year, and a lot of people are going to point to Murillo for that reason, and he is going to be a big part of it. So I think he kind of makes him an easy pick.
This is a narrative award, so I'm resetting that narrative now. I'm saying Eddie Segura. Eddie Segura has been criminally underrated in this league, and if they are better this year, it should go to him if he plays the way he's played over the last 2 years, even when they were bad last year. He was phenomenal at times, and the whole thing around him was a bit of a fire. And so I think that LAFC, same for Doyle, they're better, they're improved, they're at the top of the standings, all those things, and Eddie Segura finally gets the award.
That's a challenge. There's a little bit of a split there. You're splitting the vote on those two. I didn't know why you were booing, but now I understand. Yeah, I didn't have either of them because I thought there would be a vote split there, and I didn't think that one would be like, to go back to what you said, the narrative side of, hey, that's the guy. He's the one. Kalen, I have four, so
I'm gonna
I can
hop
scramble.
In and go, I'm going to hop in with Mensah. I just feel like being, you know, potentially top of the table, goals against average. I mean, he's been right up there already. And then I think also sometimes even for defenders of the year, goals count as far as winning these awards. And so I think Mensah on set pieces can contribute in goals as well. So I'm going with Jonathan Mensah.
He would be my favorite. I think had the crew not had that blip late summer where they had all the injuries and it kind of got away from them for a second, I think he would have won Defender of the Year last year, but that happened. So I think he'd be the favorite. My other pick would be Alan Franco. I just think you look at Atlanta United and you look at sort of the swell that gets behind players that wear the five stripes and the potential that they have this year and him coming into a team with Gabby Heinze. I think Alan Franco is going to be a big one. And if you want me to list my other candidates, I can, but I know I get yelled at about lists on this show. So Matt Hedges and Aaron Long would be two others I would look at. Okay. How about the comeback player of the year? Anybody going to say anybody other than Joseph Martinez?
Carlos Vela?
I forgot about both of those players. So I have a list that doesn't include those.
But Carlos came back last year, didn't he? Like, I know it was at the end, but he came back and he impacted the CCL and almost won it. So it's almost like, is he the comeback player?
It's not
a CCL award, Andrew.
It's not a CCL award. And it's like come on. You had a down year and you've cut it for whatever reason and you've come back. Like Carlos Vela is good. If he stays healthy, he's going to be an MVP candidate again. So same with Joseph. I just think it's one of those two.
Josie could have a comeback year. He was hurt a sizable amount of time. If he comes back and doesn't have a hamstring injury already going into the year. But the one that was obvious to me, because I forgot the two most obvious ones, was Paul Arriola, because he missed almost the entire year with an ACL. And that's kind of one of those big injuries. He'll be around the national team. He'll get noticed. I don't know how good he'll be for DC. And then the other two was Robbie Robinson in Miami, who missed most of all of last year. And João Moutinho, who had a great year last year, but was also hurt for like 4.5-5 months and is probably going to miss the first 2-3 months this year. And he's a huge part of what Orlando does. So there's my list.
I appreciate that list because none of those guys are going to have a chance with Joseph Martinez and Carlos Vela.
I had Vela and Joseph in other awards, so I didn't want to like double up.
Yeah, the question is, he can have enough hands to carry all these awards. He might have to leave. He might have to leave the comeback player behind.
Right, just need to get a car for him.
He'll have someone drive the Lotus behind his Ferrari. And so they can bring those awards.
In Continental tires.
Yes, always wrapped in Continental tires. That's a given. Any car that we talk about on this show or vehicle of any sort is always wrapped in Continental tires.
It's an Audi wrapped in Continental tires.
Perfect, perfect. How about the Ben Bear comeback player of the year? We said, you know, really the comeback player of the year should be coming back from being injured. How about just not playing, let's say, up to expectations?
Mm-hmm. I think one candidate could be Matt Beisler. Was not even a starter at the end of last year.
That is a good one.
Would be a central piece if Austin has a good year. Also, everyone on FC Cincinnati. So that's my list.
I was going to throw Jurgen Locati out there. I mean, he's trying to, you know, just to see, man. He's trying to figure it out here. He might not have that loan made permanent, but whatever he wants to do after this, a lot of it's going to depend on what he does now.
By the way, we should rename this the Pedro Santos comeback player of the year.
Yeah.
Or Sebastian Blanco. He had a tough first year as well.
He was okay. I mean, there's a big difference between his first year and Pedro Santos.
There you go.
I mean, Gonzalo Higuain would be a really obvious pick here too, by the way.
Diego Rubio. Because like he was not productive last year, but that attack was. And if he gets on the score sheet at his previous rate, his pre-2020 rate, I mean, he could end up with like 13-8. And that's a very nice season from a forward who's got a pretty low profile.
Deep sleeper might be Eber if he comes back healthy.
Oh no, that's a true comeback. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good call.
If he comes back mid year
for attack pieces. DC basically all of them.
Yeah,
right?
Ola. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
Ola, Kamara, Assad, obviously Paul Ariola as well. So yeah, they've got a ton of options there.
How about assist king? We've already taken Reynoso off the board, or Dave has. I think to me, Reynoso is the obvious choice, especially now with Juanchope, with Ramon Avila in there. It just seems like he is in the middle of everything, and when you start counting second assists into things, he is going to have his hand in most goals that they score. Who would also
count second
be
assists for this?
Yeah, I think you do. It's not a primary assist award. You count assists as MLS hands them out. So if MLS says a secondary assist is an assist, then it's an assist. Who else we got in this?
I think for me, it always starts and ends with Pozuelo until I learn otherwise. And there's a lot of good names on the list. This is probably the hardest one to pick because there's just so many options. But Pozuelo, regardless of who's playing the nine, whoever else is around, I just feel like he's he's like the one that I know is going to create opportunities for anybody. So
he gives dudes layups. He really does. I'll just go with Zelarayan because he does a lot of the same stuff just in terms of giving guys tap-ins, you know, also pass before the pass stuff for one of the two best teams in the league.
I was interested. You've mentioned it already to America Soccer Analysis did some really good previews. Their numbers on Zelarayan surprised me. Basically, he was like a low-end negative attacker at many times.
I tried to explain this to you last year during the playoffs as you were comparing him to Ladero. They are nothing alike.
Yeah,
Zelarayan is just a creature of the final third, and like it's by design in Columbus. Like he's not a high usage rate type of guy. He doesn't do a ton of ball progression. They just have him there to unlock defenses, and he's amazing at it.
Well, what's interesting is it's mainly dribbling with him. It's not even passing in that final third in those moments.
Yeah.
Well,
is there a comparison?
I don't trust numbers because I don't believe in nerds, but you know.
Yeah. Is there a comparison player in MLS to him? Like that style of play at the Tim Doyle? So as you were talking through that, I was trying to think of who might be somebody who plays in that mold as a 10. Diego Valeri popped up to me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Valeri does more ball progression, especially on the counterattack.
Yeah,
but there was, I think in 2017 when he won MVP, and I think he went 21-12 or something like that.
Yeah, 22. It was crazy.
22. Yeah, he put up great stats. He was more of a second forward at that point, and I think that's a little bit how Zelarayan plays. But even then, in 2017, it was much more of a counterattacking thing than we usually see from the crew.
One thing that stood out to me in this conversation, I think this whole show probably will, is that Alejandro Pozuelo is the reigning Landon Donovan MLS MVP, and he still just is kind of on the outskirts of some of these conversations, and I don't exactly know why that is.
Because of his team. One knows what they could be second in the East and it wouldn't shock me. They could be ninth in the East and it wouldn't shock me. I think they'll be on the higher end. I think Chris has some good ideas if they're healthy. But again, it's a Canadian team that's going to be living in Florida for we don't know how long. We don't know Josie's health. We don't know Io's health. We don't know where some of these other pieces fit in. Mavinga's not healthy to start the year. So I think that affects a lot of the conversation around Pasuelo. In the end, it could mean it pulls him to another MVP because he's so valuable because the pieces around him maybe aren't as good or aren't as consistent. But all the other players we've talked about are teams that we all think, for the most part, are top five teams going into the league or going into the season.
Speaking of that,
as far as assists goes, I for assist king, the reason why I'm thinking more about it with Pozuelo is I still feel like Zellerayan will like pull up from 35 and smash one off the crossbar and is like looking to score. So actually goals can take away from assists at times. So I think Pozuelo is still the type to look for the pass almost first. And he had like 10 goals. I think a bunch of more penalties as well, or set pieces or whatever it might be. But I still think he looks to pass. He wants to find an
he
easy,
even,
nice
tap. He even looked to pass when he was taking a penalty.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Pablo Piatti's not around to help him make bad decisions anymore. So I expect him to try to finish that one this time around. But that is another part of this, is there is a DP spot that could be filled in the summer that could help out Alejandro Pozuelo a lot. Carlos Heel. Wait, since Anders
is that your pick?
Yeah, Carlos, he's yelling in the chat here about how I weaseled out and went Reynoso.
Well, he's got Matt Turner and Reynoso right now, and he told me we couldn't pick the same people.
Yeah, I just said, you know, just give him a variety, help people understand what could happen in the season. Carlos Heel is going to be my pick if he stays healthy with the weapons they have around him and the form they showed at the end of last year. If that holds, which I think it will, he'll be right up there and have that opportunity. I think probably in the MVP race as well. Though that won't be my pick, although Carlos Vela, by the way, should probably be the like elephant in the room on all of these attacking categories. Which, speaking of, let's hit the Golden Boot presented by Audi. You got two choices here. We're going to do a little bit of a draft. Who gets the first pick in this draft? How should we determine draft order?
I'll go last.
Okay.
Most MLS goals, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's fair. You go first. Kalen's first. Dave, I'm gonna be nice. I'm gonna give you second pick. I'll take third, and we'll go. Let's see. We'll go counterclockwise here with Doyle finishing it up. Two picks. Make your first pick, Kalen.
Oh, we each get to make two picks.
Yes.
Oh, you take two.
Yeah, and by the way, I think it's like the thing where Doyle gets back to back picks, and it comes back around.
Oh wow. Okay.
I'm making this up on the fly. So
cool.
Kalen, right. Start us off.
Yeah, Captain Obvious. All right, I'll take Joseph Invela.
You can't take two. You only get it's two picks.
I just said you take
it's
two
a
picks.
Snake draft. It goes around and comes back to you.
That wasn't made clear. God.
All right. All right. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty clear.
Yeah, I thought it was very clear, but
okay. Sorry. Yeah, Joseph. Yeah.
Oh, thank Joseph.
You. Yeah.
Over Vela, you think?
Yeah, I'm taking Joseph.
Wait, let the man make a pick.
I'm just trying to understand.
No, I understand. Okay. I understand the question mark would be around his health, right? I mean, other than that. But I actually think, you know, I've done my ACL a couple times, unfortunately, still banging goals in men's league. But the first one, especially, I think you can, in some ways you can come back even a little bit stronger. You really spend a ton of time. And I think also for him, he's had a lot of time with, if you look even at when he began training and when he's been able to, and how they're kind of bringing him along, I think he's going to feel really confident and fine there. So I don't anticipate that really being a big factor. And I don't know. I'm feeling good about his health, and beyond his health, I know Vela went off and went crazy and can score goals, but he's also got Rossi on the other side, who I think is going to maybe even want to take some pens now that he's become kind of the main guy.
Sorry, Rossi. Sorry, Diego. we all want to do stuff, but we don't. You don't get to.
There's
do
a
that.
Lot of goals to go around in That's LAFC, true. But I prefer a number nine that is just going to swallow every goal that's humanly possible to take, and that's Joseph. That's what he does. Like he's going to try and steal goals from people. He's not like Vela might lay one off and, you know, ask for it back. But like, I think Joseph is still the goal king. So if he's healthy, I can't pick anybody else. I would never forgive myself.
He is definitely like the hungry, hungry hippo of goal scorers. He is Pablo Piatti. If somebody else is taking PK, he's being like, no, bro, just pass it over here. Like, right over, I'm right here. You going Vela with the second pick,
Dave? I got that dream situation. Kevin Durant at the number two pick. No one else to take. I got Carlos Vela for all the reasons. Everyone knows why. So there you go.
Okay, so there's some good options here. I think I'm going to take... Oh, we're dealing with international breaks here and how that might affect things. I'm going to take Jesse's artist, I think. I just think over the course of an entire season with the players around him, with the quality of the crew are going to have, and I feel like I'll get one of my other picks here coming back around. So I think Jesse's artist is going
to
be my guy.
If Zardes goes to Nations League instead of Gold Cup, then I think
I will be delighted.
He'll probably only miss 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would be delighted if that was the case. Now, the flip side, if he goes to Gold Cup, there is a break for Gold Cup. There is not a break for Nations League. So there is still some questions around all that. And also, there's going
to
be...
US. We're going to the final, baby.
Yeah. There's going to be some rotation in the second half. They got BWP. So maybe when it starts hitting midweek, they'll rest him a little bit. I don't know. But I still feel like, given some of the issues internationally with some of the other candidates, I'm going to go Giassi. Who you got, Doyle? You got back-to-back picks here.
I'm going to go with Diego Rossi, last year's Golden Boot winner, to play it safe. And then I'm going to go down the street, and I'm going to pick Chicharito.
Whoa!
Yeah, who we should have mentioned as the Ben Bear comeback player of the year. Because even if he only scores like 15, 16 goals, which feels reasonable, like that's just such a vast improvement over last year. And he's not going to miss time for internationals. And if you follow his Instagram, you know he seems to be saying all the right things about his mental state and his feelings towards the game heading into this season.
Do we think there's no chance that Tata goes back to the well with Chicharito? No chance? Like, with Jimenez still recovering? Like, that's where... I mean, I hope that happens, personally, as team narrative, but...
I think if he gets 15 goals, if he's on pace for that, then he comes back in. Because if you have no Jimenez, they're going to be looking for strikers right now. So who else?
Yeah, he's behind other players. And if you're saying he scored 15 goals, that means it's probably already after the summer, right? So that's not really Gold Cup convo. It's more World Cup qualifying at the end. And there's three or four young Mexican players in Mexico. Plus, they've been playing Chucky there. Rodolfo Pizarro's a false nine, guys. So watch out. And Alan Pulido. So Chicharito's got a list to kind of...
I think this is a crazy high pick from Doyle. I'm just going to be honest. Coming back around on,
gotta have
on
a little
Chicharito
fun with
this
it.
Quick.
Gotta have a little fun with it.
Yeah, I get it. I hear. I like the pick.
It's a fun one to hold.
Kalen, I didn't think about it. I knew it.
all right, I'm going between two players here. I'm gonna go Robert Berich. I just go back to the international side of things. The other guy I'm considering, who I won't give away in case one of you guys is trying to take it, will be away in the summer. So I'm going to go Robert Berich on this one.
Berich was going to be my pick here. I was hoping I would sneak out with it. I have another player that I'm stuck with on internationals because he's going to be away for a sizable amount of time. I guess I'll make the pick anyway and go with Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Yep, that was the choice.
If you took away a Copa America and potential World Cup qualifying, like, it would be obvious with the loss of Jordan Morris and his role at Seattle, but you don't know how long he'll be there. But I do know this, talking about what Kalen talks about. He loves goals. He doesn't really care who else scores them. He hates the net. He destroys posts. So Raul Ruiz Diaz right there.
All right, the eighth pick. Back to Kalen. He's got Joseph Martinez and...
I'm going to go Pulido. I think Pulido he's one of my sneaker picks or sleeper picks, I guess, for Golden Boot race. Actually, I think he has that in him if he can get going. So
picked him for Golden Boot.
What?
You just said he's a sneaky pick for Golden Boot race.
You chose him for Golden Boot race. Yeah.
So there
I didn't know if you meant assist race. That's what
No. Yeah, I'm going to go Pulido with the Mexican striker you're supposed to take. Yeah.
All right. We're all more confused than we were before at this point. Now it's time for the Landon Donovan MLS MVP.
Somebody should have taken Avila, by the way, if you all think that Babello is going to be the assist king. Anyway. I mean,
don't
Robin Log.
Well, how are you Lane, counting Foster yourself Lane out of this? You had two picks. You could have taken
for sure. You picked Chicharito. No,
because I went for the narrative, man. I've been working with Weeby for 10 freaking years.
Yeah,
and the narrative is not in. Roman Avila and Wonderwall and all the goals.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. Somebody has an opportunity to go one Chope right here, right now. Carlos Vela says that he wants to win this, that he'd like to win this, that his individual success will be paired with collective success. And when I hear that and I think about what LAFC is going to be and what they are when at their very best, I don't know how you pick against Carlos Vela personally. So I would say that's got to be it.
So Weeby picks Vela.
Mm-hmm.
I also pick Vela.
I think that's fair in this conversation. I think that is a fair. You can double up. You can triple up. You can even quadruple up if you'd like to.
I mean, we should be picking the runner up.
No, I'm picking Lucas De La Rayon. Once again, this is a narrative award. He wins MLS Cup MVP.
But the ASA guys, the American Soccer Analysis guys, didn't like him. It said there was goals plus, said he had a negative value because he dribbles too much.
That's your world, by the way, your Weeby impression is a lot better than your Goss one. Like, nice. You got to work on your Goss.
Underneath me. I'm just looking down every once in a while and telling you what I see from above.
Okay.
But I sit up here. But I think, and he'll be around the whole year, obviously. Doesn't go with Argentina. And if this team wins CCL or makes a run in CCL, like I think they will, again, Golden Boot is who scores the most goals. This is people voting on it. And so if in their mind, Lucas De La Rayon has had the biggest year, Columbus is the best team. If they win Supporters Shield, all those things, I think he has a legit shot at this.
Yeah, his profile will be bigger this year too after MLS Cup. And then also you look at just if he can stay healthy, because he missed a lot of time last year. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen the best of him over the course of a full season. So healthy, in form, coming off the championship match, opening a new stadium. If they finish top of the table, win the Supporters Shield, I think there's a really good case for Zellerán.
I think it's probably Joseph Martinez.
But I'm still taking Vela.
Yeah. But you have Joseph Martinez winning the Golden Boot. So explain that. Because normally if you have if Joseph wins a Golden Boot, it's going to be hard to go against
Vela
that.
Vela puts up double-digit assists or his team wins the West.
Yeah, I think I think this team standings go into big time into the MVP. And I think while I think Atlanta United will be much better, I don't have them in the top two in the East. I think I actually haven't done my full list, which I'm crazy about. But I got somewhere more in
the
second.
Absolute coward.
I'm sorry, Doyle. Yeah, I'm working on it.
Next Monday, Kalen reveals his top
and his picks for the weekend games.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There you go.
Anders, put down July 15th. Kalen's going to let us know his.
Yeah, the day after decision day, here's Kalen Carr with his picks for the 2021 season.
I agree with Doyle's top tier of LAFC and Columbus Crew. So I still think that people pick MVP based off of, unless it's really sort of a strange, last year was a little bit of an exception, I think, with Pozuelo and the way that the season had gone and the way and how balanced Philly was in a lot of ways.
But TFC was still second.
Yeah, they were right there, like down to the decision day, I think it was. I think there will be probably more of a clear run of form this year with the best team. And I think it's probably going to be either LAFC. I've picked LAFC, which is why I chose Vela, or Columbus if Zellerán. I could see a case, but I'm still going Vela here. But I think Golden Boot, still notwithstanding, I think Joseph is going to need to score a ton of goals for Atlanta United to be much better than they were last year, obviously.
What do we think this year is for Carlos Vela? Because we have sort of like the first year in MLS, which was a double-double year, but it wasn't absurd. And then we had the absurd year. And look, I don't care what Anders says. We are going to spend more time on this. What is this year for Carlos Vela? Like how goals, assists, where do you think he ends up? What is the sort of hierarchy of this year in his compared to his others?
Are you asking what we think he needs to do, what he wants to do?
No, what he's going to do.
I think he's going to put up numbers similar to 2 years ago, and I think it's a big deal for him that he has to. He's had a great career, but longevity, and I don't mean to – I don't know if that comes out the right way, but like he has not established himself many places for a long time where it's like you always think of Vela when you think of that club. Obviously in Spain, I know Doyle's going to go look it up now. I appreciate that.
I mean, he's beloved there, right? In Real Sociedad.
But he didn't play with Mexico for large stretches. He obviously didn't get in with Arsenal. Then he comes to LAFC. I think he needs to be the guy and the leader on this team for multiple years for himself and I think obviously for the club. So I think that's the expectations this year. And I think he's when he came back last year, Kalen's talked about it. Like he didn't have all his burst. And you could still see him putting defenders on skates. and it was easy for
Champions
him.
League.
Champions League, and it's, but even yeah. the Seattle game and decision day and all those, he was like, you could still see defenders scared of him. So I think he's capable of getting back to that this year.
I don't think he's going.
It's about
250 games, 73 goals, and 43 assists for Real Sociedad yeah. over 8 years. He has longevity there with one of the great clubs in Spain. He's beloved there. So, and I think he wants to have the same sort of thing with LAFC.
I agree. I think trophies are a big part of that, and he understands that, and he understands for LAFC to win trophies, he's probably got to be the Carlos Vela that he was 2 years ago. Now, I don't know that he will put up those numbers. That year was just unbelievable. And I still think if you look at the back half of the season.
Unbelievable is that Anders tried to end the segment 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, get out of here, Anders. Nobody cares about that. I think he'll be somewhere in between. But like you're talking about 35 goals and assists combined, I think should probably be at least the goal. And I think he can pass that. No problem. All right. Siggy Schmidt, coach of the year. Who we got?
Can I pull this back for one quick sec?
Okay. Anders might murder us all.
Double digits at Real Sociedad 3 times, which is great. One of them 12 goals.
Are you watching the games or are you just looking at the stats?
All right, Siggy Schmidt, coach of the year. Who you got, Doyle? Start us off. Get us back on track.
I think it'll be Gabby Heinze. Atlanta will go from, you know, what they were last year to I have them second in the East. And it's not all Heinze, but with the way they're going to play under him, it's going to be reminiscent of the Tata Martino years. So I think that type of jump in the standings make him fairly obvious choice for a lot of people.
What place does it have to be third and up in the East for that to happen?
I would say, yeah, a fourth might do it. But okay. If they finish top three in the East, especially because Columbus and New England are so, so good, then that probably does it for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's going to be a little bit more like Pareja last year, right? Where you bring in and you turn it around, but you don't quite win the award in the end because there's a team that goes on to win the Supporter Shield. And I think that's going to, I've still said, I think it'll be LAFC. And I think Bob Bradley will end up taking it back. If it goes to the other side, then Caleb Porter, I think, has a case. If they do really well, I know it's just an MLS award, but I do think it plays in if they make a deep run in Champions League or if they go pretty far in that as well as the Open Cup. So I think I'm going Bob Bradley on this one.
Are there any other new coaches that have an opportunity for this? Like Hernan Losada, I might have thrown in there, but then all the stuff with fitness, and I don't think they'll have the profile to do it. I mean, Phil Neville will have the profile. If Inter Miami can somehow become a top 2-3-4 team in the East, you will have, like, the narratives will just be swirling.
I mean, I almost picked Higuain as one of my golden boot guys. Like, if he's able to get that locker room on the same page and put out just a coherent team that plays to its talent level, not even above, but just plays to its talent level, they're going to win a bunch of games, and he's going to end up looking really good.
Before we move on, to cover all our bases, to make sure that throughout the course of the entire season, we cannot be doubted. My choice, though I will not write this in my column, is Adrian Heath of Minnesota United. He will be your Siggy Schmidt Coach of the Year as the Loons ride to the top of the Western Conference, underestimated by no one. Adrian, congrats in advance, man. Congrats. All right, how about we finish it off?
Did David pick someone?
I'm picking Caleb. It's his award now. It's his award to lose, which sometimes can hurt you, but you got to think coming into it after winning MLS Cup, and people picked Curtin last year, which was fair, but I think after the playoffs, a lot of people would have picked Caleb. So right now it's him, and everyone else is sort of chasing him. And I get Kalen's argument, but I would say, I think if the two teams are toe-to-toe at the end of the year, people will feel like they should give it to Caleb because Bob's already won it with LAFC. Mm. And I think his first opportunity to win this with Columbus after what they did last year and what I think they could do potentially in CCL as well gets him there.
All right, let's go to the extra time categories. These are ours and ours alone. The Chris Armas, Defensive Midfielder of the Year. A lot of debate about this one. It was at one time the Ozzie Alonso. Then it was the Diego Chara. Now it is forevermore the Chris Armas, D-Mid of the Year. We appreciate you, Chris. Who we got here? Who are you going with, Doyle? This is not as obvious as it once was in this league, yeah. I think.
I there's a lot of good choices, but I think it looks like LAFC are just going to hold on to Eddie Atuesta, and he's just fantastic. He's my favorite player in the league to watch. It was night and day with that team when he was available last year. he's the choice. He's the choice for me.
They got to sign him, don't they? Like,
I mean, he's in his last season. I would love for them to make him a DP and sign him long term, but it's like obviously it's tough. Like teams like Palmeiras, you know, very interested in him. You know, obviously teams in Spain have been interested in him. He's to me, he's a $15 or $20 million player. He's just spectacular.
Do you think his standing in the national team affects the way he has to make this decision?
Yeah, it does. Because Colombia, like, we just haven't seen Colombian national team coaches select players out of MLS. We just haven't seen it happen. Whereas, you know, most other South American national teams are like completely fine with it. Obviously,
even Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting to that point, right? Yeah. So it just hasn't happened for Colombia. And I think that is probably a pretty good amount of pressure on Atuesta and hence a lot of pressure on LAFC. So, I mean, if you want to give me a second pick in case he's sold.
Nope. You can have it after
I'm
everybody
not
else.
Some worm. I'm not some only worm who comes on here picks. And gives a list.
Yeah,
of
well, look, I do it at the very
picks.
End. I do it at the very end after everything's been taken. Who else you guys got? I have a list. I won't go through it.
So my first pick is Alex Ring. I think he's going to be huge for what Austin does.
He was
my second
pick.
I think it's going to be quite obvious as well. I don't think NYCFC is going to be bad because he's missing, but you're kind of going to have both sides of it where it's like you'll see some misvalue on one team and you'll see his absolute value, especially on an expansion team and what he's going to do for them. And my dark horse is Marky Delgado because I'm going to be a worm and take two. I think there's a chance if that he's – I don't know if that's the position he'll play exactly, but I think under Chris, it's kind of going to unleash the things that he can do well, and he's going to have a big season. I'm hoping he gets into the national team picture as well.
Kaelin?
Well, we went with Cerillo, right? From there.
Kaelin's sticking to his word.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm not going with him. He's just 20 years old, so I think we'll see him back on the 22 under 22 list this year. But I'm actually against my better judgment. I'm going to go with Jonah Dos Santos. I think he's the most important player for the Galaxy. I think the guy when he's on, he's still one of the best. D mids in the league, and I think they're going to need him more than ever this year to either win balls, connect play, protect the back line, be everywhere. I sort of disagree. I think last week we talked a little bit about how there was concern about his legs or whether he could cover as much ground as before. I don't think that's really an issue for him.
He took a year off, so yeah, he's been good and rested.
Like, Galaxy overall, I think he took a year off last year. I'm going to take Jonah because I think he's still, I think he's still one of the best in the league.
I agree. I think we all knew though where you were going when you said against my better judgment. I was like, Jonah Dos Santos. I know exactly where you're going.
not because of Jonah, just because I worry more than anything that the Galaxy are not going to be able to figure it out, or it's going to take some time, a little longer in the Vanny project than to win an award or to win an extra time, a prestigious extra time award like this. But
only the best of the best can find their way into possession of a Chris Armas D mid of the year award. Jose Martinez, I feel like, would be a really obvious pick here, but I'm gonna go Jao Paulo. I just think with Morris out, there's gonna be more room, and this is strictly for producing Anders, but I still believe in it. I think both ball progression, his leadership, his ability to win the ball, he's gonna be sort of in a real centerpiece for them this year. And I think there's going to be a lot of times on the show where we come in on Mondays and say, wow, did you see Jao Paulo this weekend? He was incredible. So you're welcome.
Going to be absolute shambles when he's beaten out by Josh Atencio.
All right.
I said that for Anders. I said that specifically for Anders.
All right. Let's do the, let's see. It's the fullback of the year, but I don't know. We never named this one. There were some suggestions that it should be Harrison Offal. I threw out Jeff Agus, though we all know that he played some center back as well.
Played more back.
Yeah, so he's probably out. I mean, Harrison Offal feels early for me.
On balance of his career, after what he did in MLS Cup last year, he was amazing in that game. He's the best fullback in MLS history. Harrison Offal has been like best 11 worthy every season he's played in MLS. And he's played, what, seven seasons now? Six or seven seasons? So I think that we should name this the Harrison Offal Fullback of the Year Award, even though Harrison Offal was not the Fullback of the Year last week.
I love that argument.
Couldn't you say the same thing about Kelvin Leerdam, but with another MLS Cup?
No. Leerdam hasn't been in the league as long, though. Right? So Offal's done it longer in MLS. I would say the ones for MLS longevity that came to mind were Tony Beltran and Justin Morrow, who also did it in MLS.
And Frankie.
Frankie as well. Jay Heaps, although they didn't win anything, played there a ton.
They played more three at the, or yeah, five at the back.
Okay, so. I'm fine with that.
I'm going to go with Wade Barrett.
Mm.
Wade Barrett was really good, but there wasn't a whole lot of times where you're like, this guy's a best 11 caliber.
No, but
a lot of times Kalen said that.
Tony Sané?
I mean, Tony Sané, but Tony only played like half a season at fullback in MLS.
Yeah. 401-206-0MLS, extra time at MLSsoccer.com. Please, if you have a name here, send it our way. Who is your awful fullback of the year? Sorry, I knew I was going to make that joke at some point. So I just had to get it out.
Why don't you go first? Because you don't get to go first.
Yeah, I'll go ahead. Ryan Hollingshead in Dallas is going to be my choice, especially if Lucci decides he's not going to, every five games, play him on the wing, because it seems like they went out and signed enough wingers to not have to do that. So Reynolds is gone, but Hollingshead has been consistently excellent for a couple seasons now, and I think now is the time for him to get the credit for what he's done and what he deserves for those performances, and I think he'll keep doing it.
I'm not super surprised by that pick. A little bit, though, because Weavey's darling is sitting on the board and coming off an ACL and a return year. I thought Weavey was going to go a different way. I'm going to say Julian Gressel, because this doesn't say fullback or wingback. And if he plays as a wingback for DC and gets a ton of crosses in and does the things he does best, I still don't understand how him and Paul Areola fit on a team together, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think he's due for a return year, so that's my pick.
Go ahead, Kalen.
There's some good options left. I'm not going to pull a Weeby and name them all. I'm going to go with Richie Larea. I'll go with Richie. I think getting involved in the attack, I think Armas is going to allow him to the freedom to get forward. They're going to press. He's a perfect option for that at times. He can play a lot of different ways. I don't know. I think he's still taking a step forward. He's getting better. So I think, I'm going to go with Richie.
I was torn between Richie and Anton Tinnerholm. And since Kalen took Richie, I'll take Tinnerholm. I actually voted Tinnerholm Defender of the Year last year. Just the lift he had for that NYCFC team on both sides of the ball. If you look at his ball progression and creativity number, like, it was absurd. He was spectacular last season. One of the great all-time fullback seasons we've ever seen in this league. I don't think he's going to have as much to do this year, hopefully for NYCFC's fans' sake. But either way, he's just a fantastic player.
It'll be interesting if they push Sands deep and play five at the back, what his numbers look like if he gets a few minutes as a wing back with less of a responsibility defensively at times. But yeah, I thought Weeby was going to say Milton Valenzuela. I hope that was
I wanted to go Milton. I love Milton. I just don't think, again, these awards come down to, there's some narrative to them. There's like high profile.
Yeah,
Weeby
set the narrative.
That's true. You're right. That is my responsibility.
These are our awards.
That's true. I guess there are no voters here. We're the voters. I should have been doing that. I missed my opportunity here.
These guys just vote on narrative.
These morons, they don't know what they're talking about at all.
Oh, God.
As Andre said in the chat, I've been taking a beating on this show. I'm okay with it. How about the college player of the year? I think this is where we're going straight. Can we go like recency bias, the Daryl Dike College Player of the Year? I feel good about that.
Yeah, I'll follow that up and say Derek
Johnson. He was the first one to be snubbed, I think, by the award. So
nice.
It should be in his honor.
So our listeners know, there's no more Rookie of the Year. That's gone. So this is like, who's going to be the best player to come out of college? It's almost all draft picks, a couple of homegrown signings as well. The obvious choice is Danny Pereira, the number one overall pick. It looks like he's going to be starting for an Austin FC team that I think is they're going to have a lot of the ball. He would be my pick, but I have a list if you want.
Yeah, list him. I think we're good on a list here. This is fine.
Come on.
Also, can I just say that if Daryl had won the Rookie of the Year, he'd be at least a $30 million player. I mean, that would have put him way over the top. You know, EPL looks at that, they're like, Rookie of the Year? Yes, come to us.
So I think you have to look at who really values the draft. And over the last couple of years, nobody's valued the draft more than Minnesota United. Adrian Heath has done remarkable work turning draft picks into starting caliber players, or sometimes even more than that. So Justin McMaster, who they picked, I think, 16th or 17th overall, he fills a need. He's a goal-scoring winger. Kevin Molino's gone. I know they're talking about signing a DP. So he's one, and then the other one is Calvin Harris, who was the second overall pick. If Cincy get this stuff right, that could work.
Harris is an interesting one for what he could do. What's tough with Cincy is, like, there's 80 different players in position. Yeah. You don't know what playing time will look like for him, but they used an international slot on a guy when they didn't have one, which means there has to be a level of investment. They've already done it where they value him and they want him to be a part of their group and they think he can be competitive now, so they have to give him an opportunity. I said Dotson when we opened up just because Orlando's proven that they'll give a chance.
Have they even signed him yet, though?
Well, he went to college. He played the spring season. Now he just came back out and is going to head down there. But I don't know. Pato, Arias, there's opportunity there at that position, as Daryl proved last year.
There's not. He is the newcomer of the year, Alexander Pato. How about the Diamond Hands Player of the Year? Doyle put this in, and we don't know what it is. So I am on the edge of my seat.
No, Diamond Hands, if you know, you know.
We're holding on. You're holding on to the stock. You're not letting go? Is that where
we're... You're holding on to the stock. Exactly that. So go ahead, Weeby. You go first.
I'm trying to think.
I still don't understand what that means.
So even though this player has maybe underperformed expectations, you're still like, okay, I don't care. This guy is actually really good.
It's the Paxton Pomykal Diamond Hands.
Sounds like half of the players in MLS. And
yeah. right? How about Corey
Baird?
How about
1,000?
I got mine. How about Corey Baird? Corey Baird's my Diamond Hands Player of the Year.
That's a really good one.
Yeah, there were some down years. The Rookie of the Year season. Really good, and now he's in the perfect situation for him, and it seems like he's probably going to be the guy that gets those minutes up top, and with his movement and his sort of understanding of where he is in the hierarchy, like, make the right runs, you'll get the opportunities, and you'll be my Diamond Hands Player of the Year.
So the other one that fits along with that I think is kind of obvious is Frankie Amaya, and two guys that are going to get a new situation that probably fits them easier and makes life easier. I don't know that Amaya's the starter tomorrow. Did he get traded to New York?
No, it's not. It's not official yet. There's a lot of reports.
If Amaya were to be traded to a team that wore red, played in the Eastern Conference, somewhere around the Newark area, great Portuguese food, pretty good Colombian food as well in the area. I think that'd be a pretty high one. The one I'm going to go in on, which is I don't care what anyone says, is Theo Bear. I still believe. I don't know what position. I don't know if he'll ever play. I don't know if it'll be in Vancouver, but I'm keeping my Theo Bear stock.
Doyle, this is your category.
Brooks Lennon. I just think with the way that Atlanta team plays, they're going to be all over the ball. They're going to want both fullbacks to push forward a ton. He already did that in the first game. Even when they were playing with 10 men, Brooks Lennon is out there going end line to end line for 90 minutes against a really good Alajuelense team. And I know there's competition at that spot, but he's such a great crosser of the ball. And he's kind of nasty out there, and I think Heinze will appreciate that.
Okay, I'm going to break the rules here and draft two players here for this award.
I love it. Yeah.
And I'm going with Fafa Picot and Max Arruti.
Amazing.
Doubling up on the wing.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to say 15 to 20 goals between them. I don't know who's going to get what, because one might go off for 12 and 3, or it might be 7 and 6. I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but I'm holding on to both these guys. Coming to Houston, fitting Tab system, it's going to be hot. These guys are going to be running down the wings and getting goals.
I got a penny.
I'm going to take my second guy from Houston as
No,
well.
No, don't do it
I'm
to me.
I'm taking Derek Jones.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking Derek Jones.
Okay. Nice.
All right. Yes. I'm getting a penny stock on this one that could really rise for me. Maybe in the transfer, maybe a trade comes through. Christian Ramirez. He's not getting that opportunity, man, in Houston. Somebody's going to be looking for a goal scorer in the middle of the year. And they're going to look around the league, and they're going to say, you know what? Lassiter's getting all the time. I'm going to go out and get Christian Ramirez.
Give me an early prediction.
Should have looped him in
tomorrow. Who trades for Christian Ramirez right now?
Oh, man. I would have said somebody like RSL, but then they went out and signed Bobby Wood. So that one's tough.
Galaxy after Chicharito goes to the Gold Cup because he's got 20 goals. By early July.
Don't hate it. Okay. Don't hate it. All right. Let us know if you got a thought on Christian Ramirez. I think he's still got it. Somebody give him a chance here. How about the young
Anders has the right call. Austin.
Oh, keep him in state. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if this is the official title of this one. We're just starting it. The Young Money Cash Money move of the season. The young player that's off to Europe. We've talked about a lot of them here. Who do we think that player actually is going to be?
Can I get the first pick?
We know it's Caden Clark.
Well, we know that. So you can't do Caden Clark.
We're fairly certain it's Darryl DK.
That's true. Yeah. But I don't like that. That's too obvious. That's too obvious.
I'm going to, I went Cole Bassett for under 22, but I'm going to go with his teammate Sam Vines on this one. I think Vines is starting left back for the national team for a bunch of big games this year. He's shown he improved last year. In MLS, if he keeps going that way, you can tell by the contract that he signed that Colorado's ready to give him that opportunity. So I'm going to go with Vines.
They do acknowledge
nobody took him in the Harrison Offal one.
He was on my list, but I've been shamed so much for my lists that I couldn't subject myself to that again. I'm going to throw out a guy that we just had on the show, kind of in the Brian Reynolds mold, which is George Bello. I think with Heinze, with that style of play and with his kind of like breakout last year, and he's on the cusp more so of the national teams, whereas Vines, I think, is a little further in right now with Greg Berhalter in that group. But I think a lot of teams are going to look at a young left back with the skills that he has and see progression as far as his ability to read the game and be a complete player and say, yeah, that's a guy, if we can get him our system and in our environment, he's going to really, really improve quickly. So I'm going to say George Bello.
I like that. I think if you look at how MLS players, what positions are getting bought and having success in Europe too, that fits alongside, and you look at a lot of the players they're going over with Reynolds and Davies, et cetera. And I think another position that fits as well is the defensive midfield position. I think that's one where they understand that the play here has translated abroad. And I think for me, I would add Christian Caceres. I think he's been looked at for a while. He's just 21 years old, full Venezuelan international. And I think he's gotten a lot of time, but I think, and some interest, but I think this is the year where he finally makes the move abroad.
Yeah, where Struber gets
a late winner.
Yeah,
on
Struber gets the most of him.
Puts the goal in the corner, jumps good. The corner flag.
Yes.
Huge moment.
He said he was waiting. He was a little listening to that possession, then he hit us with the high press and surprised us a little bit. Doyle, your Young Money, Cash Money move of the season.
Did we decide it's a cheat to say Caden Clark?
No, we didn't say that.
I thought that was like, we know that's going to happen, right?
We already know. Yeah, we already know. All right, I'll say Caden Clark. I have a hunch he's going to end up at RB Leipzig next year.
Doyle, you're the one who has to end this show. Wake up the next morning, look yourself in the mirror. If you're happy with your pick, then you get to do it.
Well, I'll say this. If you want to give me a 1B, it's Ayo Akinola. He was every bit as good last year as Darryl DK was. And I think he's going to come back healthy eventually, finally. And I think he, with Pozuelo feeding him and that midfield, he is going to score goals on goals and goals, and people are going to notice.
To have Ayo as your 1B, you have to answer this question. One word. What national team does he play for at the end of this year?
United States of America is 4 words.
Nice. Okay. Right. There you go.
All right. Do we want to do MLS Cup and Supporters Shield here? What do you think?
Might as well.
All right. Well, Doyle, you did your Supporter Shield sort of make a case. You went out into different universes and, you know, stars exploded and asteroids streamed around you. And you ended up with what? Who is your Supporter Shield winner for 2021?
LAFC are going to do the double.
Cup and Shield.
Yeah.
So we're combining this. I like that. That's big time. Bob gets his trophies. He gets that validation. He built him in what it is. He's got the fire on his resume too, and everything else. I mean, it would be a moment to push him. Not that he's not already there, but up into the very, very top of all time MLS coaches. I like that. My Supporters Shield winner is also LAFC. I just think depth, quality throughout over the course of the season. They've already proved that they can do it. I know it won't matter, quote unquote, at much, but I still think it does matter to this team and to Bob Bradley to be the best team consistently over the course of the year. I mean, there's an element of pride to that. And I look at what LAFC does week in, week out in the transfer market across the entire organization. I think that sort of thing matters to them. I know they won MLS Cup, but I don't think they're the sort of club that's like, we don't care about the regular season. We'll wait till the end. I mean, there's a connection between the two, and I would choose them for the Shield as well.
I'm going to go Columbus for the Shield. Kaylin, you want to go first?
Well, no, I was going to ask, Weeby, did you pick a cup or no?
No, I haven't yet. I was saving that one back.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah,
sorry.
Okay.
I, Are you saving that?
No, I picked LFC for the cup too. So I just didn't want to follow Doyle's double with my double, and then I look like a poser, and so I was going to save
it.
Well,
I'm just
going
to cut off
it.
Doyle, Goss then too, because I have the same thing.
Are you just kidding me?
Yeah, I'm serious. I think LFC, but look at the difference.
You guys, okay, so there's a decent chance the most important player on LAFC is not on this team all season, right?
But isn't the same with the crew? You're talking about as if last year that didn't exactly that thing that didn't happen was El Arian. He wasn't around the whole year.
Bro, if they sell Eddie Atuesta, it's completely different than El Arian being hurt for a couple games. If they sell Eddie Atuesta,
Without Atuesta, they were still good enough to outplay Tigres for 70 minutes.
Yeah, for sure. Are they going to win MLS Cup?
They also have a third DP spot available. We don't totally know that.
Because they have a guy who's on loan.
Say his name.
If he comes back, they got to get rid of him somehow.
Say his name.
Brian Rodriguez.
I think they went and got, they have depth that, you know, the question marks around the back line to me got resolved. Bring in Murillo. I think they have depth that basically all over the pitch now. Yep. I mean, they've got even at outside back, they've got depth, which was a problem before where they kept having to move different players around and Latif. And, you know, now it's like, I really feel like they've got the depth there now. And the big question that I had for a while was like, can they win in playoff tournament settings, in big games? That was where they kind of ran up against the wall, where the play that we saw throughout the regular season, which was beautiful and expansive, was not really built maybe for these knockoff situations where they had trouble against Portland or they had trouble against Seattle. But after watching what I saw in Champions League last year, a lot of those questions just sort of disintegrated immediately. And I think when you look at how teams progress over time, we saw this with Toronto over the past, of how they were, you know, an amazing team, but really had to go through this process in the playoffs. We saw it with Atlanta, same thing. I think LAFC now has sort of flipped that switch or turned the lights on as far as like a team you don't want to play in a one-off situation or a knockoff, because they're, you know, after seeing what I saw in Champions League doing that, I feel like those questions for me are now gone. So that's why I've picked them for one, and then
all right, LAFC. Okay,
I respect.
Let's go.
I respect everything you guys are saying. I think for a shield, one of the things that I'm trying to process is just with the way the schedules are a bit more geographically heavy. I think the top of the East is better than the top of the West, so I think it's harder for Columbus because they will have to play New England, Atlanta, Philly, and the Revs more consistently. But I still think that when you talk about depth, Columbus is number one in the league and the match winners that they have. And I can't get over the fact that I, in what Doyle said, think Atuesta is the most important player for this team. And I don't know if he'll still be a part of this club. And they didn't prove to me that they can cover for him enough to stay at that level. So I have Columbus winning the shield. I think it's hard to win back-to-back MLS Cups. That's just the reality. So I'm going to pick the Revolution to win MLS Cup. Whatever the hell happens this season, you know that they're going to be primed for the playoffs. You know that Bruce loves it. They're always ready, blah, blah, blah. They did it last year, and I think they'll be even better this year. So those are my two.
All
that stuff you said about Atuesta being gone might apply to Matt Turner as well.
Yeah, it might. I would rather cover for a goalkeeper in MLS, even as good as he is, than the key to my entire team on the field and in possession.
Okay. I'm just saying, Janela and Cifuentes have had some time to get in there. They've got some talent. We'll see what happens.
Have you been impressed?
At times.
Listen, what Kalen said about fullback is huge because it means Latif Blessing will never have to play back this season. That is massive for their midfield. And obviously, I would, if we're talking about stocks and whatever, Mark Anthony Kay, everything for me. Player, off the field, on the field, whatever. But still, it's a risk with that group.
It's hard for me to think that we could continue this podcast after somebody picked the Revs to win MLS Cup. I don't know if I can do it. Do we have any in the mailbag that we can hit that are quick? Do we want to talk Matheus Pellegrini? Should we? I mean, it sounds like he's going to Montreal. Like, what?
We can do that.
Yeah, let's just do that, because that's the news. What?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to everyone? I mean, it seems like that.
Makes sense to me that there's a team in MLS that isn't going to go out and spend that money on the transfer market to get a DP of that quality that's going to take this opportunity to bring him into their group.
Of what quality?
Whatever you want to judge it, the number is the number. Okay. Montreal's not spending $9 million on a DP or $6 million, whatever the number was. You know, there's a few other teams. I was about to list them, but I don't need to throw people out there for no reason that also are not going to do that. Have never, probably will never. So it makes sense that if he's available here, you take the opportunity to bring him in on a flyer, whatever happens, whether it's a loan or a buy, The only his number as a contract as a DP is fairly low. So once he's actually on your team, if you don't give up a lot to get him, which I assume you won't, because Miami has to get rid of him in 3 days, there's an opportunity there. If he's good or he's bad, it's not totally your problem. All you can do is gain from this move. So it makes a ton of sense, especially for a club in Montreal that's shown that they'll just acquire young assets and then see whatever hits and then roll with it from there and potentially sell them in the future.
Feels like it has to be a loan. I don't know how Miami could stomach basically like selling for pennies on the dollar at this point. Like, it just feels to me like it would have to be a loan, or there would have to be a massive sell on percentage if they were to move him on. I don't know.
So we have a bunch. We got a bunch on Twitter of categories.
Just roll them. Let's go.
Are hard to do in preseason. So I'm actually going to read them for everyone to think about, and I'm going to bring them back at the end of the year or midway through the year, whenever we do them. Cause they fit a little bit more for like, once you've watched things happen. So we have the Matt Showalter says the prove the haters wrong pick of the year, player of the year. His pick's Gianluca Busio, which I think is one we could have done. And you guys can think about it right now while we're going. Dale says best transfer that everyone initially thought would be S word. Not good. That surprised a lot of people. Jason Andrews has the 12th man award. We also got a really good email. I think it was from Derek Fry, who was what's the deepest team, what's the best bench. So we can talk about that. At the end of the year, MTBH brought up Doyle's favorite moment, which was the team with the most embarrassing moment award, a la TFC's penalty kick from last year. So we can think about that over the course of the season.
I feel like that was maybe the refereeing crew in the Orlando playoff game, but you know.
Potentially. So people, what are you gonna do? as these come up, feel free to send us them. The Jacob Glesnes best defender of the goal award. And then Zach Smith brought in the team most crippled by international competitions windows, which could be a competitive one.
Yeah, we're about to find out about that one. Look, this has been a great show. We have on Thursday coming for you complete previews of all the games in week one, in particular that Orlando Atlanta United game on Unimas, 2DN and Twitter. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. It's going to be LAFC Austin FC, Austin's first game on Fox, and on Sunday, Inter Miami against the Galaxy on ABC at 3 p.m. Eastern. We're going to dive into those. Also going to talk those Friday games. If you have games, if you have storylines, if you have things you're looking forward to, let us know. 401-206-0MLS. Extra time at MLSsoccer.com. We got a bunch of guests coming. So we're going to bounce all around the league, talking to the Cooligans, talking to, of course, our sister podcast, The Call-Up, pulling in broadcasters from all over MLS. So stay tuned for that on Thursday. Thinking about trying to get it up early, but we'll see. We'll let you know on Twitter. In the meantime, have a great week, everybody. We're almost there. 5 days away. We'll see you on Thursday.